PK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad. Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 10 o'clock.
Good morning. And welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. It's great to be gathered today to celebrate together as believers and to receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament. We do have some special things happening this Sunday as we observed our Armed Forces Sunday in recognition and celebration of Veterans Day. So we have a blessed service planned for you in which we will, honor our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we will also honor our country today in the service. If you'll notice, I want to point out specifically one thing about our service this morning, that the placement of our flags when we're blessed to have our Alamosa High School, two members of the ROTC program here with us today to help us and serve with us, and also Gabe Jardin and his service to his country and to us here today for our special occasion. But want to point out one specific thing about the flags. So the placement of the flags, very important in our service today. The flags are placed on the floor below the altar, not up on the altar. And there's a specific purpose for that. We say in the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation, under God. And so our flags, the placement of the colors today will represent that. We're blessed to celebrate. We're thankful for our military, our armed forces, and our veterans. And it's right that we, as the scriptures say, give honor where honor is due. So we'll do that this morning in our worship service. But we open our service today with our opening hymn. That's hymn 801, How Great Thou Art. And we do invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of that hymn this morning for the presentation of the colors. Let's sing together hymn 801.
God, you have sustained our nation in the past and continue to bless us. We recall how so many have given their lives for the cause of freedom. Men and women continue to sacrifice and serve in the armed forces. Today we pause to reflect and honor those who gave or who continue to sacrifice so much in the defense of our freedom to be faithful.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit now from Revelation chapter 7 and Psalm 84. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son to lead home all his soldiers of faith, the church, that with all the company of the redeemed, we may finally enter into his eternal rest. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the prophet Amos in the fifth chapter of his prophecy. We begin in verse 18 of chapter 5. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps I will not listen, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today for our service? That's hymn 717, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." In the name of Jesus, amen. Our parable this morning from Matthew's gospel is, I looked for words to describe it, challenging, to say the least. Most commentators and theologians understand it to be a teaching about preparation for the waiting that's required before the Lord returns. The wise virgins in the parable take extra oil, a flask, along with their lamps. And the application for us is that we also will need extra if we're going to have what we need to be prepared during our waiting until the Lord himself returns, as we heard about in Thessalonians, with a cry of command and the shout of an archangel, and the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. But I have a question. What finally allows, in this parable, what finally allows the five wise virgins entrance into the wedding feast? It wasn't just their oil. It wasn't actually their oil that got them in at all. What gets the five wise virgins into the wedding feast is nothing else than being with the bridegroom. The foolish virgins in the parable, what was their mistake? They didn't take enough extra oil for their lamps. True. But isn't there another, even bigger mistake that they made? Like not being there? Like not being there when the bridegroom shows up? See, I think the parable begs two questions of us this morning. First question, are we prepared for the waiting? The waiting that we're in now. And second, will we be there in Christ when the bridegroom arrives? Sin leaves us wholly unprepared for the arrival of our Lord. It seeks to snuff out our lights, to steal away our oil. Truth is, if we're going to be prepared, we're going to need extra as well. After all, did you hear what Jesus said at the end of this parable? Verse 13, he said, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." He wants us to watch, but watch for what? For his return. And it's very true that we're going to need help to do that. We're going to need extra resources to be able to wait and to watch every hour of every day and even, friends, every moment. Watch. But here's the thing. The virgins in the parable, they don't watch for him. This is what I said. I struggle with this thing. Like I wrestle with it like crazy all week long. Okay? Because they don't watch. The text actually tells us. Verse 5. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. Like I said, this is a difficult parable to understand. And wrestling with it is beautiful and good. And as I wrestled with this parable, this conclusion kept sticking out to me throughout the entire week. What finally gets the virgins into the wedding feast? It isn't the oil. The oil merely helped them continue to wait and to be prepared according to wedding tradition of the time when the bridegroom arrived. It's obviously not the oil that does it. Why? Well, because the five foolish virgins, they go into the merchants, so they go to the merchants, they purchase more oil, right? They come back with oil, lamps shining bright, but they go to the door of the house and they say, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he says, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." It's not the oil that gets them in. It was too late for them when they showed up. So what do we take from all this? We take this, I think. The only way to get into the wedding feast of the bridegroom is the bridegroom himself. Or as Jesus told us in a very well-known passage in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." The foolish virgins are foolish, not only because they didn't bring extra oil, friends. They're foolish even more so because they leave. And they're not present when the bridegroom is coming. Verse 10 tells us, "And while the foolish virgins were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut." They got caught up in their lamps and their oil problems and ran off. And here's the thing. It was after the announcement of his arrival. Okay? The announcement of his arrival comes in verse 6. "But at midnight there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him." Then they didn't go away to buy from the merchants until verse 10. So they already knew he was coming. And they left. That's not the time to get it all right. It's too late and functionally impossible. Getting caught up and getting it all correct or right now means that they miss the arrival of the bridegroom. And they won't be with him. But they go away anyways, full well knowing his arrival has been announced. So concerned about getting it right, they put lesser things ahead of the most important thing, and that's meeting and being with the bridegroom. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the message of this parable is the same for us. By it, God wants to show us not to get caught up in trying to get everything right in our lives and in our faith. Yes, the heart of this parable is the same as the teaching from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, the story of Mary and Martha. Remember that one? Jesus comes over to the house, and Martha is busy, 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 distracted with all of the things, trying to make the whole house right. And Mary, that's not her thing. She's sitting at the Lord's feet. She's learning from him, and she stays with him when he's there. The parable this morning is a warning to us not to let the lesser things take us away from the greatest thing. the bridegroom of the church, our Lord Jesus Christ. We get so hung up on trying to get life right and being better people, and we worry and we fret so much, don't we? Like the five virgins, it was important to have a lit lamp at the wedding ceremony. Yes, it was important. It was a part of the tradition, and it could be seen as offensive if your lamp was out when the bridegroom arrived. But was it more important than not being there when the bridegroom showed up? No, it wasn't. It was not. It's a parable about priorities. And we have to be honest this morning with God and with each other and with ourselves that our priorities are often really messed up and really backwards when it comes to this kind of stuff. We want to get life right, right? This is a priority for us. Every day, we want to be thin, as good looking as possible. We want to have perfect homes. We want to have curb appeal, good friendships, extra money, perfect families. We want children that are healthy, strong, good-mannered, well-rounded adults. We want it all to be right. And check this out. We mentioned it last week too. It's the holidays. We're coming up on them really quick. And did you know that you can get a little snapshot of yourself and where you're at regarding this just by looking at yourself around the holidays? Because maybe you're planning a Thanksgiving celebration. Don't you want it all to be right? Your celebration, I mean. Maybe you're planning already for your Christmas plans and celebrations. Don't you want to be making sure that everything's just right? Well, how caught up in it are you? Get a little picture or snapshot of ourselves that way. Enough to forsake the greater things about those celebrations for the lesser? We should ask ourselves, even when it comes to our celebrations or our gatherings or whatever we're planning on doing, what's the lesser thing and what's the most important thing about those gatherings and those celebrations? Is it the most important thing that everything's just right? Or is it the most important thing that maybe you're gathered with your family? And maybe they're there. And maybe you're together. And you know what? To be frank, who cares about the rest of it? Maybe it comes together, maybe it doesn't. Isn't that how life goes? We want to get it all perfect. But friends, that's a pipe dream. Getting it all perfect, getting it all right. It's not going to happen the way that we think, and we're so worried about it. The parable's about this same concept. We get hung up on the lesser things, and the parable's warning us not to do that. Rather, do anything and everything we possibly can not to miss the bridegroom. Because that's the most important thing, being with him. We want things to go right. I get it. I do too. But let's not get so hung up on those things that we miss the Lord and his blessing. Because don't we do that? Do you see it? Think about a dinner table setting. You're sitting there with your family. There's so many blessings all around you. You're sitting there with your spouse. There's so many blessings all around you. You're sitting there with a friend. There's so many blessings. And yet so often in the conversations around the table, we get all hung up on the lesser things. And we miss the greatest things at the table. And here's the thing about the parable and our Lord Jesus. He's here. According to his own promise, right now. And he has all that we need to be prepared while we wait with him. The oil of his word of forgiveness, his sacraments, these are our preparation for our waiting. And he provides them for us in this wedding ceremony of life as the bridegroom of the church awaits the time when he should come to his church, his bride. If you see it that way, we're all a part of a big wedding ceremony. You're a groomsman, I'm a groomsman, you're a bridesmaid. It's all one giant ceremony. It's a cool parable that way. Would we be foolish and despise his provision for our preparation? His flask of oil for our waiting? Would we avoid the hearing of his word, despise his sacraments? Put other things, lesser things, before his great gifts for us. The oil of his word of forgiveness is ours. Now, before his arrival, we're going to need extra of that, aren't we? We're going to need to repent. We're going to need to receive his forgiveness because he's already been announced. He's already been announced. Mark's gospel tells us Jesus came and these were his words. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. He's been announced. He's coming. And we look inside of ourselves and we say, oh, I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I'm good enough. Like, I know we all have a face that we put on in front of each other and in front of friends and even at church sometimes. And we're not worried, man. We're good. But then deep down inside, are we really valuable enough? Have we really done what we should? He's been announced and he's coming. I mean, we're often, sadly, putting lesser things in front of the most important thing. But brothers and sisters in Christ, look at your Lord Jesus. The cross, the cross. You and me were the most important thing to him. And he put us first. Before all other things that he faced, before his very own life, he put you and I first and went to the cross and bore the shame in order that we might have his provision, his oil for our preparation in our waiting that we're doing now. The most important thing is being with the bridegroom. That's how we'll enter into the wedding feast. That's how we'll be ushered into the halls of heaven. It's only by him. I think it's interesting that if those foolish virgins would have just said, we're sorry, we ran out of oil, and not run off to get it all right, they would have been there when the bridegroom showed up. Friends, brothers and sisters, this is why the church, this is why the scripture leads us in the way that it does. Because we all have to come up when it comes to our Lord Jesus and say, humbly, we don't have it all right. We need your forgiveness. We repent. And as he leads us in that reality, we're with him. That's what he accomplished for us. And so, You see in that, that beautiful thing, that in repentance and forgiveness of sins, it must be preached throughout the whole world. That in that reality, we're prepared and we're safe for our long wait. And we can rest in Him by the work that He's done for us and by His gift of repentance and forgiveness. We're prepared and we're ready with extra. Our cup, in that way, overflows. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for our confession of faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, You are our help and our deliverer. We bring to You the prayers and petitions of Your people that You may grant us all things needful and guard us against all things harmful. And Lord, we see, especially today, that You work through means. And Lord, You truly are at work in our nation's military, and the protection that they bring to us is a blessing from You. And Lord, help us to be humble in regards to those who serve us. Show respect and honor where honor's due. Lord, in Your mercy. Oh Lord, preserve Your people from believing that You are pleased with us because of our works or our ceremonies. Grant that what we do in worship and prayer may proclaim salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, and that what we do each and every day as we serve You in our various vocations is seen as gifts that You've given us, blessings that You provide. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord God, You bestow favor and honor and withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly. Lord, bless parents and those who teach children Your ways, that generations to come would love Your promises and know Your stories and Your truths. understand the Old Testament, know about Noah and Abraham and Moses and all the blessed treasures of your word. Lord, bless our school as our teachers, school board members, church members, as they all work together, Lord, to bring that treasure to those families. Lord, you've blessed us this week, and we thank you for it. We pray that you continue to lead us and guide us in that ministry as we go about our days. Lord, in your mercy. Righteous God, you despise corruption and you command justice. Father, embolden our rulers and our authorities in our nation and in the world to enact and defend measures that preserve peace and provide justice for all. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, show mercy to those who cry aloud as they await your Son's coming in glory. Lord, we name before you this morning those on our prayers of the church, Jim and Linda Holman, Lee Connor, Alice, Kevin Rice, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Father, answer them with strength and healing, comfort and hope. Make them confident in Christ, who will raise his people on the last day. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son will descend from the heavens with a cry of command. Raise those who have fallen asleep and deliver us to your kingdom of glory. Until that day, Lord, strengthen us by your own body and blood. And prepare us constantly for his coming in glory. For Lord, you've given us extra, and we're grateful. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, grant that we may not grieve as those who have no hope, but instead rejoice and encourage each other with the promise of the resurrection to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. God of our salvation, we know neither the day nor the hour of Christ's return, but we know that he has died and has risen again to open the kingdom of heaven to us, all believers. Until that day, preserve us in the faith and guard us from temptation. Do not let us get caught unprepared for his coming, trying to get everything right. But let us live our days in loving service and joyful expectation of life in the world to come. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we take a moment to collect our tithes and offerings that we give back to the Lord as he leads us according to his own will. And this opportunity this morning, during it, we will have the chance to sing the song, which is printed on your insert in your bulletin. There's a song on both sides. One side is printed America the Beautiful. So let's sing that as our offerings are collected and presented.
Thank you.
If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we're blessed that you tuned in, thankful that you were able to take part in our service, and we wish you the Lord's blessings as you go throughout the rest of your days and your holiday season. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary, we invite you to turn over to page 11 in the bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the Holy Sacrament. Our service this morning for the sacrament, we will be distributing the elements down in the front of the altar, and so we'll form the line to receive our elements this morning. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
The Defense Department says five American service members were killed when their aircraft crashed in the Eastern Mediterranean during a routine air refueling operation during training. In a statement, President Biden said the entire nation shares the grief of their families. A bipartisan group of representatives traveled this weekend to Israel to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Major topic was the status of 240 suspected hostages being held by Hamas, including nine possible Americans. Congressman Jared Moskowitz of Florida was on the trip. He told ABC's This Week.
They're working on several plans to locate the hostages. I don't want to go into details of that. But obviously that is a top priority. There are nine Americans missing that are potentially hostage. And so, you know, this was a focus of the delegation.
French President Emmanuel Macron said there's no justification for Israel's continued bombing. And Interstate 10 in Southern California still closed. Engineers evaluating the damage caused by a fire. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Want more of Southern Colorado's best country? Try this.
KSPK.
Just remember feeling all grown up, taking pulls like an angel.